Jeremy Garrett is one of those legends becoming. You might more readily recognize Jeremy's name as a member of the infamous String Dusters. He has several side projects he's done before and after and during. He's most recently going to release the RV Sessions Volume 2. We're going to talk to Jeremy about that at length. Hey, welcome, Jeremy Garrett to Unreal Bluegrass. How you doing, Jeremy?
I'm doing great, Steve. How are you?
I'm thrilled and happy to have you back on the show. And as always, I know you're out there somewhere traveling the universe and enjoying everything and taking it all in. And then you give it back to us in music. And specifically what we're going to talk about is the RV Sessions number 2. Let's do just a real quick backup for everyone. Everybody would recognize you instantly from the infamous String Dusters. But you've done other projects before and after. I guess your most recent solo effort was the RV Sessions. And let's tie that into what we're doing now. Let's talk about the RV Sessions a little bit, then we'll get right to this new release.
Sure. Well, you know, kind of to give you a little background on the whole idea of the project is basically my wife and I lived in Nashville for 13 years, and we were originally from the West, both from Idaho. And we decided that once we did our time in Nashville there, we had a great time and had a lot of great music contacts. But we were really longing for the West, and we're both from the West, like I said, and so we were just kind of love the climate out here and the scenery, and it's just our kind of vibe, you know. So we were looking to go back out West, but we weren't sure, you know, once we sold our house in Nashville, where we would go exactly. So we got the bright idea of getting an RV and traveling around a little bit, you know, going to zones that we liked and see if we wanted to hold up. And that's actually been over 2 years ago now. And we've already been around the United States one time and visited most of the national parks and a lot of the state parks and cool places, you know, in between along the way. And spent the winter in Phoenix and back in Denver where we're expecting a baby here in just a couple months. So we're you know, we're just traveling around. I've been doing a bunch of solo shows, and it's inspired a bunch of music that I've written and recorded, both in the RV. And the RV Sessions 1 was more singer-songwriter style, and this is more of a instrumental project, I guess you'd say.
Don't you hope, musician or not, don't you hope that everybody has the opportunity to travel by on the road, not flying over, but on the road to drive across and see? There's so many great things to see that are so inspiring. It's so neat that you guys have done it in this fashion. I like to think that everybody would take the chance to, at least I've driven, I don't know, maybe three times across the country, and to me it's always an amazing adventure. So you're doing it, and then you're kind of interpreting and incorporating it into music is what I think we're going to talk about in just a minute.
Sure.
Yeah.
You know, and you're right about that. I think everybody should do it. There's something that comes along with seeing different parts of your country and how different cultures do things, and you learn a lot by traveling. You know, if you're stuck in one zone, you only see one thing.
Right.
And if you get out there, you really see the world a little bit, not only this country, but others if you can.
Oh, yeah.
To try to, you know, learn more about other people. And it's fascinating to me, but it's also really amazing how much diversity this country really has in both scenery and people and culture and food. Different kinds of food across the country is really amazing to experience. And music, you know, one of the biggest things we went to was down in Phoenix. They have the musical instrument museum, and they have musical instruments from all over the entire globe, and they have nice demonstrations there and everything. And you wouldn't think that Phoenix would have something like that, but you know, there it was, in the middle of Phoenix.
Well, you probably wouldn't know
like that if you're in Nashville.
Yeah, you probably wouldn't know it unless you're out traveling around. But you're right, there's so many, and that's, I'm really thrilled that you're doing that. Like I said, I've kind of done a version of that, not an RV, but certainly a lot of road miles.
Well,
but
sometimes you have to even drive by when you're in a band, you know, drive right past those things.
Well,
can't stop, so it's good to take the little
it
time.
Is, and you were, this whole time that you were doing this, I mean, you were still making dates with the Dusters, and then you would kind of peel off the way I seem to piece it together and do your own things if you could. Do it, you know, Jeremy Garrett would be playing here, but you always kept up. It was just your way of kind of making the dates and then also seeing the country the way I interpret it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, definitely both in one for sure, and raising awareness of my brand and also being able to artistically, you know, put out there more creative ideas that I have. And I'm very lucky that we have a fan base and a supportive wife that allows me the time and to actually really get into being creative and go with that. And so, you know, that's kind of why I did the second effort, the RV Sessions 2, and the reason why I did it all instrumental. You know, a lot of people in our business, like Jerry Douglas and Sam Bush and Bela Fleck and Tony Rice, people that we really look up to in the industry from years past, all did instrumental style records, and some of the most influential to me personally and to my peers also. You know, I know the String Dusters are heavily influenced by that instrumental music, and so it's sort of almost like a creative extension that I just felt like I wanted and needed to do. I had a longing for that, and I had all this instrumental music rolling around in my head from traveling the country that didn't necessarily fit with lyrics, but it still told a story, you know, and it had a vibe. And so that was why I kind of came up with the idea, and also tried to make it sort of fiddle-centric, so it's kind of like it doubles as my fiddle record, I guess you'd say.
The a lot of funky music on here.
Thanks.
That's not a down. That's not a downer for me. I'm just saying I like it. There's a lot of funky stuff that you're doing here. I don't mean that to be as a put down at all. I think it's great.
You know, I try to pick something that wasn't like. I mean, I know a lot of traditional bluegrass tunes, and I could have done a traditional style fiddle record, but that wasn't really where I wanted to go at this time, and I wasn't trying to like make classical music pieces. You know, I was just really trying to make really cool music that was in my head that fit with the vibe that I was seeing as I traveled around the country, and that's just sort of where it all came from.
Well, you have a very distinctive one. I now feel like at this point, when I hear a bow on a fiddle, I know that when it's Jeremy Garrett, I know without knowing who's playing. You have a very distinctive, recognizable sound, which I think is the goal of every instrumental musician. You want to have, whether you're doing it on purpose, but you would like to look back and say you have a recognizable style, and you definitely do. And here's my question for you. Do you think that this traveling around the country has inspired or informed that sound any differently, or has it opened up new things for you that maybe you were waiting for an avenue before? I don't know how to express it, but do you feel like your sound or your approach has changed from this traveling around?
Definitely. You know, I mean, I feel like I was unorthodox to begin with just because I was from Idaho, and there are a lot of great fiddlers in Idaho, but I never really took lessons or rubbed elbows with those cats. I was a lot self-taught with my dad's help and sort of listening to records. So the way I approached music was not necessarily technically correct, and I think that added to my style over the years, and I really had to compensate that and learn to get over that and overcome those things, you know. And I always strive to have my own sound, you know, my own voice. I really respect other people's fiddle playing, but I find myself now, if I listen sometimes too much to modern bluegrass, I'll start playing those cat's licks, you know, and so I actually try not to kind of soak that in, because I'm trying to be, you know, my own voice, and especially in the fiddle and the singing realm. But, yeah, I would say definitely as I travel around too, you know, I'm picking up, you know, little things here and there from different parts of the country, of people that I'm meeting, and, you know, I just got back from Wisconsin actually, and spent a lot of time up there, like hearing a lot of different music and around Chicago and the Appleton area, and they have their own sound there versus a different sound out in California or the Northwest, or versus the South even.
And correct me if I'm wrong, you can't get that. You can get a record from Wisconsin, you can get a record from the South, but if you really want to get what they're doing, you need to see it, hear it live, don't you, to really absorb their emotion.
I feel like you do, and you know, you don't always have the opportunity for that unless you're in the zone, you know. And, you know, it's a lot easier with the internet, of course, and Spotify and all that kind of thing. But even Spotify, for my taste, doesn't really have everything I want to hear, you know. I mean, the obscure things are not there, especially of my favorite, you know, big pop artists, you know. They don't even have everything of their stuff. So it's good to get out into that zone and see what's going on. And sometimes, you know, you might hear somebody that's not necessarily a pro, but because they've been doing it forever, you can tell they're a seasoned veteran musician. They have something that somebody, even if they're young and they're technically incredible, they don't have it. And the people that just have been around a long time and have been doing it forever are just seasoned at it, and they've got something, some kind of magic that makes you pay attention and listen when they play or sing or their songs. And that, to me, is always striking. The most striking thing that I see.
Well, I think that leads nicely into this second session of the RV sessions. I have a favorite, but I'm not going to tell you what it is right away. But they're very unique. And I thought about, before making this call, is how do I approach with Jeremy to describe it? We've described a little bit about what your influence is all just in casually discussing it. But I'm not a fan of labels. I just tried to find a jumping off point to discuss what you're doing. And I really just think, Jeremy, it's become Jeremy Garrett. It's Garrett Grass, I guess, in the truest sense, but it's even just Jeremy Garrett music. Can you help me fill it out a little bit? My descriptors are failing me.
Well, you know, that's the thing, is like my role in the Stream Dusters is more pointed. I feel like I'm more like a jam fiddler, you know, and I have my sound and my style within that, and my songs that I write, and my voice. But, you know, there's a lot more to Jeremy Garrett than that, because I've, you know, been playing since I was 3 years old, and, you know, singing in church since then as well, and just sort of had a vast music career, you know, in that time. I've been playing 37 years now, you know, and that's as much as most people have a career when they start when they're in their 20s.
Right.
So, you know, I've already been doing it. I've still got, I feel like, a long life ahead of that, and I feel like more now than ever, I feel like Stream Dusters and everything, we're in our prime.
So absolutely.
We're really making, I feel like, some of the funnest music we're ever making. We're in the studio next week, actually, and so that's great. But there's also, you know, five guys sharing stage time and sharing material and songs, and not everything that I do or can do or want to do gets showcased. You know, I write, you know, I have over 100 songs in my catalog, of a small portion of which probably will get cut by the Stream Dusters. So I would still have love for those songs and that material, and I play guitar as well and mandolin.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And have worked on those things my whole life as well. And it's, so it's fun to sort of step out and get to utilize those talents, not forget how to use those things, you know, and also, you know, I hope more than that. I hope more that I'm, you know, just sharing and creating music that is maybe from one guy's vantage point, and maybe these things are sort of, you know, overdubbed together so it sounds like a band. But the parts that I'm hearing are mine, you know, and not necessarily, you know, a conglomeration, which is, there's nothing wrong with that. It was just the approach I wanted to take on this particular record. It's also sort of hard, you know, to gather studio quality musicians, especially when you spend so much time in Nashville,
right,
like I have, when you're on the road like me. So I'm lucky that I can play all the parts, and so when I have Tilda, the sort of, I don't know, I guess spirit come upon me or whatever, however you want to describe it, and music and inspiration strikes, that, you know, I'm able to just sort of lay all the parts out that I want, and since I can sing all the parts, I can kind of, I can do everything except for maybe play banjo. I'm okay on banjo, but just scratching the surface.
Well, that what you've described just then is what I feel from this, is that you are being moved, and that you have the opportunity to record these songs. And you know, let's talk about the tunes in particular. I think we've talked pretty much about your approach to what we're doing. But Cobra is the shortest tune on there, and I understand where the name come from. But when you start to write Cobra, do you remember what would make you start that particular riff? It starts off with a mandolin.
Yeah, so Cobra was an idea that I had. Just, you know, a lot of times when I'm in the back of the bus, or, you know, sometimes in my RV or wherever I may be, I have a melody that'll just come to my head. That's the only way I can describe it. And sometimes it I'll have a mandolin around, or I'll have a fiddle around, or a guitar or something like that, and I'll record them as a voice memo on my phone, and I just have a catalog of these things, probably hundreds, and you know, it was one that just sort of stuck out to me as something that was, I don't know, quintessential mandolin, and I wanted it to, like, the record to sort of start with, you know, a bang, I guess, for lack of a better term, and not, like, subtly get into it. I wanted to really go for it. And it just had the right sound to me and reminded me of maybe somebody getting bit by a cobra or something like that, I guess.
Because you've seen that a lot, right?
Oh, yeah, right.
It's what you would, the artist's interpretation of being struck by a cobra.
That's right.
All right, all right. The Bluegrass Gorilla, I just think, as I wrote down funky as I'm listening to that, and that's when I think your guitar works a little kind of the funkiest of what I've heard.
You know, I just kind of envisioned, I don't know why, I just had these lines together that I thought made good signature lines, and, you know, it wasn't necessarily a melody when the song starts. You don't hear, like, necessarily a definitive, clear melody. And that's sort of designed on purpose. I'm playing a 5-string fiddle on that particular track, which I think is the only time I do that on the record. And it just gets that low, growly sound. And the only thing in my head I could think of for that melody was just that this big, giant gorilla dancing around the room. It's kind of what it sounds like to me, you know? Like a really aggressive, you know, silverback gorilla just jumping around the room. And
okay.
And that's just kind of a rambunctiousness of the melody in my mind.
Okay. I like that. I like that. Roswell, I have to tell you, is my personal favorite for probably all the wrong reasons, except that I do tend to listen to a lot of late night radio when I'm laying in bed. So.
Nice.
So I don't know if you were at Roswell. I don't know if, I don't know. Where did that one come from?
Well, you know, Roswell is actually one of the older tunes I've been carrying around for a while. And it was because I had to go through Roswell. I like to read about that sort of thing sometimes, too, you know, conspiracies and different things. It's just kind of fascinating to me as a subject matter once in a while. And, you know, I was reading a story about Roswell and all what went down. And so I just kind of started writing the song. I have lyrics, actually, to the tune, but the lyrics were always just kind of cheesy to me and just didn't really ever fully work out. And so I just went with it as a more of a jazz tune. I thought it really made sense.
But
I sang the lyrics one time for the String Dusters because I was showing them the song to see if perhaps they wanted to cut the song a while back. And everybody dug it, and we just never had a chance to work on it again. But the part that they dug the most was the Roswell vocal part. and so...
Listen, at one in the morning, that's got to be a little creepy.
I just felt like that had to be in there.
I think so, sure. Yeah. I think that works. That works. The Tidal Wave is another one that I keep coming back to. I just make little notes of things that not that I don't like any of the other ones. As more Tidal Wave kind of also catches me, and I'm sure you have some that would be favorites of yours that I haven't mentioned, but... talk about Tidal Wave a little bit.
Well, you know, Tidal Wave is just kind of when I picked the names for these songs, it was all stuff that was sort of either inside to me or just how maybe the tune sort of sounded. And it just reminded me of a wave rushing on the beach and then just kind of drawing back out to sea, especially at the end, it has a sort of softer part, like the waves have all calmed down. I don't know. That can sound hippie, but I mean, how do you name an instrument?
Well, I don't know. That's why I let you answer the question, because I don't know. I don't know. I figured you're out there in nature, and these names come to you maybe after you come up with the melodies, and that's fine. I mean, hopefully you're never in one, but I mean, I assume that this will matter as a result. But so the other songs, tell me about some of the other ones that might be your particular favorites, not to exclude others, but on the rest of the album.
Well, you know, I think you hit on some of my favorite ones. I try to stack all those up at the beginning, but there's another one that I really like called High on a Ridge, and it's basically all fiddle, and it's played up high, and it goes through the similar melody each time, but then towards the end it has some really cool twists, and it has a dynamic feel through the whole thing, and really, you know, a range of, you know, sounds and soundscapes. And I just really like how the track turned out. I feel like it's really powerful. And there's some cool stuff on there. You know, I feel like more folky mandolin sounding stuff, some catchy melodies and whatnot. I have one on there that is a real fun track just with fiddle and mandolin. And it's just more fiddle tuney. And it's called Tongue Tied. And so you can imagine it has some tricky parts to it. And then the last track I have on there is probably, I don't know, the deepest track for me. I sat down several times to write lyrics to the song, and I just couldn't. Every time I started writing something, I just, you know, it was like too emotional. The melody to me was just like too much for lyrics. I just couldn't figure out what, you know, like how to get that out there. And so I needed to make it an instrumental. And so it's still of a melancholy, sadder sounding song to close out the record.
Well, so, and still I'm amazed that you do these in the RV. For the most part, right? You actually have a recording studio for the most part.
I recorded everything in the RV.
That's just amazing.
I have all the gear that I and you know, all the instruments and play all the tracks.
And two cats, right?
One cat. Funny.
You mentioned the fact that you have a baby coming. That'll be that. Now you're still going to travel the world.
Yeah, I'm still going to travel. Okay. I feel like it's going to be a good experience for my family. And,
yeah.
You know, if you're a musician, if you ever want to see your family, you have to be sort of creative about how you spend time or
right,
have
right.
them around you.
And, right.
and so that's what I've done.
Right.
You know?
I think it's great. Listen, I love the stuff. And I really think more than anything else, Jeremy, not that you need me to tell you this, but you have a very distinctive, not just in the way that you play, but there's a part of the melody. There's something that you're doing that you know, I can tell it's Jeremy Garrett coming through, whether I know it's you or not. And I think that's something, like I said earlier, that every musician wants to obtain. I'm not saying you did it on the RV sessions, but I think more than ever it's so clear that you have arrived as someone, and you can keep working on your sound or style, but my opinion, which may be worthless, is that you have reached the point where, oh, that's Jeremy Garrett playing. Now, it doesn't matter what you're playing on.
Well, man, I really appreciate you saying that, and your opinion is valued. So, thanks for saying that.
Sure. Listen, where and you have a website. I assume that RV Sessions 2 is available,
Yep. In fact, we will have them in our hands by the time this show airs, and
okay.
You can order it. If you pre-order it, the official drop date is September 27th. But if you pre-order it, you'll get it now.
Oh, good. Okay. Cool. And we can look for you around the road. We can follow you on your website, and then we can follow you with the String Dusters, and we'll catch up to you down the road, right?
That's right.
Cool, man. I love what you're doing. I love the fact that you're on the road and absorbing it all in and bringing it back to us and all these inspirations. And it's a wonderful thing you're doing. I think you're having a good time.
I'm having a blast, and my wife and I are both loving it, and we're excited to bring a little one into this scene. And we may have to put down a root eventually, but for now we're gonna roll like we've been rolling and just live on.
Man, I say
we're
roll.
Really loving it.
I say roll as long as you can. That's my opinion. Just roll as long as you can. All right, Jeremy Garrett, I'll let you go, man. Get back to rolling around and creating. And thanks so much. And the new album, RV Sessions 2, I love it. It's already in play. So we'll be talking about it as the time goes on.
Thanks for your time, Steve. Really appreciate it.
All right, man. I'll see you. Bye.
All right. Bye.
Thanks so much, Jeremy Garrett, for stopping by to discuss the great new album. He's releasing the RV Sessions Volume 2.